We're going to open to Romans chapter 4. We'll begin by reading verse 13, and then we'll step down to verse 18 and read down to verse 22 from that point, but beginning in Romans chapter 4. Listening to our brother Paul as he speaks to those Roman believers about faith and pointing out this patriarch Abraham in regards to his faith as an example. Romans 4:13, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law or through any regulation or through anything that he might win simply by doing of his own bidding, but through the righteousness of faith." Stepping down to verse 18, "who contrary to hope, in hope believed," this is speaking of Abraham, "so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb," Sarah being 90 years old. "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness." So there we will bow our heads together and ask the Lord to bless our lesson this morning. Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning, Lord, once again for gathering on this day. It is a good day. Father, we can rejoice in this day that you have made and be glad in it. Because you have made it, Father, whatever the weather, whatever our personal contexts, whatever our situations, Lord, this is a day that we might and should and can receive blessing as we consider your word and we consider your son, Jesus. Bless us together, Father, as we have this time of fellowship. Open our hearts, open our minds to receive what you have for us so that we can be eternally changed and eternally blessed and you can be eternally glorified in our lives. I praise you, Father, for this opportunity. Help us to take advantage of it, I ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're considering this old patriarch Abraham, this one that's a Sunday school staple, but also a staple in, well, Jewish history and church history, all of these things, this one who, well, kind of led off, if you will, that lineage of Israel, right? This man, he's presented here by Paul, and I'm presenting him here this morning because he is an example of faith. I could take you to Hebrews 11 right now, but I won't, where we talk often about that Hall of Fame of Faith or the Faith Hall of Fame, and Abraham is right there with a large portion of Scripture attributed to him, and Sarah too. I don't want to sell her faith short either. He's present there because he was a man of faith. He was called out from his homeland by a God that wasn't served in his homeland, that wasn't familiar in his homeland. He was called to move and to find a new homeland that he hadn't known and he hadn't seen, and he did. He stepped out in faith. He stepped out and moved and obeyed the Lord and did what he called him to. He made the decision to listen. To listen to this unknown God that he believed. He heard his voice, whether it was audible, whether it was just in his heart, whether it was in some other manner that's not presented in Scripture. He heard it, he believed it, and he moved in faith, and he was the better for it. He was made the father of many nations. I'm not going to tell his whole story today. It's a great story. It has a number of different accounts in it that are dramatic, that are cinematic, that are theatrical, and every bit 100% the truth, and draws us to a further understanding of God's goodness and his work that he wants done in our lives. I'm not going to tell all of that. You'll still get the gist of the lesson not knowing all of his history. But he was the better for it, the better for his faith. And because he obeyed and because he demonstrated that faith and walked by faith, we're the better for it too. And if you turn to Genesis chapter 17 and verse 3, this is that promise, that beginning promise that God made to this man, Genesis 17:3, where it records that Abram, it's the same guy, "then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant, my agreement, my contract is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called, or shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." And if you know much about Jewish history, you recognize Abraham. From Abraham came Isaac. From Isaac came Jacob. From Jacob came those 12 tribes of Israel and the nation that we know collectively today. And so we have this understanding. who Abraham was. The Lord made a promise to him. And again, Abraham was a man of faith. As Paul described back here in our passage, and you can keep your thumb in Romans chapter 4 because we'll be bouncing back and forth to this text that we open with. Paul describes him as contrary to hope, and hope believed, so that he did become a father of many nations. Verse 19 says, not being weak in faith, he was strong in faith. And so as I look at this, saints, as I look at this and I think of that, well, just that phrase that I have highlighted in red in my notes here in verse 18, contrary to hope, in hope believed. This is what he did. I don't believe Abraham was just a man, well, of some sunshine and rainbows disposition. I mean, I don't know what his personality was, but I don't think that he was one who just pasted a smile on his face. I don't know. I can't really make a whole lot of speculation, but perhaps you know those people that, well, always look on the bright side of life. And I'm not going to disparage these ones, but you have these ones who always say, hey, put on a happy face, cheer up, chin up, chest up, move forward. Happiness and joy and all of these things. These ones who always look on the bright side of life, expecting that there's a great thing is just going to happen right around the corner. Just give it time. Great things. Happiness is coming. It's the pursuit of happiness, and we need to find it, and we will find it. Two things I'll say regarding those people who paste on a smiley face like that, who paste on a sunshine and rainbows disposition. Number one, they seem fewer and farther between these days. You don't see a whole lot of people who are just walking around cheery, cheery, cheery on a natural level. That's kind of, I guess you might say that would be understood because it's not a very cheery world we live in all the time. But as I've dealt with these ones who have a removal or have an absence of the Lord God in their life, the source of true joy, the source of true happiness, the source of the only one and true love that is God, in the absence of Jesus in the life of one, someone who pastes on that happy face and that smile and has that cheery disposition, oftentimes they're trying to convince themselves as much as they're trying to convince anyone else. And you find when you get into their lives, behind the scenes, behind the Facebook posts or Instagram posts, however cool you might be, behind all of this facade that's put on there, oftentimes the happiness there is only an inch deep and so, so, so fragile. They're trying to convince themselves as they try to convince you. I don't believe Abraham was this way. I'm not sure he had a smile on his face all the time, but I believe that there was a joy in his heart that came from the faith that he had in Jehovah, the faith that he had in the Almighty God that made himself plain to him. And when he moved by that faith was strengthened as the Lord confirmed to him the validity of his steps, the credibility of his voice, and, well, the power and the strength and the blessing that comes in obeying God. So let me encourage you this morning. I'm not going to say, paste on a smile, child of God. I'm not going to say, put on a happy face, but I will say, rejoice in your heart today. You can. You can find true joy and you can find true blessing today and every day. We are justified in doing this. Lamentations 3:22 tells us his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. This is just one assurance that we have, one promise that we have that can make us not paste on a happy face, but to celebrate true joy day in and day out. You can believe this promise. You can take this promise to the bank, as I oftentimes say. You can follow Abraham's lead and place faith in this promise. You can believe him for this. And saints, there are any number of other promises in Scripture you know. He promises that if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you're his for all eternity. You can believe that he died for you. You can believe that he rose again on the third day. You can believe that he is coming again. You can surely believe that he wants to guide you, that he is with you, that he says that he is with you. Promises all throughout Scripture. You can believe that you are his again for all of eternity. You can place faith in the truth, well, that he made this day, and that all things in this day will work together for your good, for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. These are promises that you can put your faith in and find joy in. But that being said, it takes some time sometimes. It takes some effort to build up our faith. It takes some training to have such faith. We need to practice faithfulness. We need to train in faith. We need to be determined. We need to be intentional in being faithful, especially in the midst of what sometimes often is a hopeless situation. And so, it's perfect for us to look at Abraham this morning. Because his was a hopeless situation. God said, I'm going to make a nation of you. You're going to be the father of many nations, in fact. But he was in a hopeless circumstance as it pertains to being the father of any nations, much less many nations, because he was an old man. Let's call it what it is. He was almost 100 years old, or around 100. Sarah was an old woman. I'm not trying to insult anybody or offend anyone here, but she was an old woman by her own words. She was around 90 years old. The promise was for a child from these old people. And this isn't even getting to the part of the story where Abraham was told, once Isaac did come along, if you know the story, Isaac and Sarah did have a child. And the Lord said, I want you to sacrifice your child to me. And that's not even counting that. The one through whom, Lord, you gave me this promise and you satisfied this promise, and now you're going to have me end the line there? We're not even talking about that this morning. From the beginning, this was something of a miraculous work. And yet, despite the hopeless situation in his own oldness and his wife's oldness, well, yet contrary to hope, in the face of hopelessness, in hope he yet believed. And so this morning we're going to learn from Abraham. We're going to learn from Sarah too, but we're going to look at Abraham, the statements that are made here regarding Abraham, and have a training session in faith. Because it does take work, it does take intention, and it does take a certain measure of education. But we'll consider this morning what Abraham did in building and demonstrating his own faith, as Paul relates it here to the Romans here, and consider whether or not we might be able to do the same. And so the first thing I want us to understand this morning is that in regards to building up your faith, well, you have to have faith to begin with, there will always be natural hindrances to one, your receiving faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who establishes faith within somebody. And there will always be hindrances to anyone receiving faith from the Lord Jesus and anyone who wants to build it up. Strengthen and grow one's faith. I'm going to have you turn to 2 Kings chapter 3. And while you're turning to 2 Kings chapter 3, I'll remind you of a little history lesson that's taking place there, a little historical account. You might remember Moab as being one of the enemies of the children of God. And they were at battle with Israel oftentimes. And so, well, in the days of Elisha, this was not the exception. And so Israel was at war with Moab. And so what we see them doing here is taking natural steps once they defeated Moab to keep them from rebuilding, to keep them from putting themselves back together. They had some victories against Moab, and they said, we want to essentially keep them down. It wasn't an unusual tactic. They used a very simple method here in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 25. Then they destroyed the cities, and each man, these are the Israelite men, each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it. And they stopped up all the springs of water and cut down all the good trees. These were just natural hindrances. If you consider, you know, I clean up the church with Allie from time to time, and we find gum wrappers here and there. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but it just is what it is. We find gum wrappers, or we'll find little crayon bits or pieces of chalk. Who uses chalk anymore, by the way? But there, we'll find that from time to time, and little wads of paper or Kleenexes or whatever. And we have a assembly of, you know, on a good day, maybe 80 people, maybe on a full Sunday. And it builds up. This was an army of thousands. Each one had a stone. And as they walked through, each man threw a stone on a good piece of land. That would wreck that land. They stopped up all the springs of water. And they cut down all of the good trees. They put natural hindrances there to dissuade Moab from rebuilding. They said, we've wrecked you, and we don't want you to recover. It prompted the Moabites, I would imagine, to look at that place and say, if they were, you know, left there to try to recover, to look at it and say, oh, goodness. Where did all these rocks come from? Well, they knew where all the rocks came from. But as you looked at a good field full of rocks, incapable of growing land or growing crops, how are we ever going to remove all these rocks? And for that matter, where in the world are we going to find the lumber that we need to build the wagons so that we might come in and haul off all of these rocks? And build our homes and rebuild and put things back together. For that matter, where will we ever find water now that these springs of water are dammed up, dried out, whatever the case might be, to hydrate the workers and the animals that we need to pull the carts to go and pull out all of these rocks. And so it was multiple layers of natural hindrance to keep them from rebuilding. I would imagine that there might have been, as they approached that place, following that, also just feeling the sting of defeat and death and all of those things, rather hopeless on the part of the Moabites. Now, they were the enemies of God and enemies of God's people. And the Lord was rendering judgment upon them, certainly. So I'm not going to put a whole lot of sympathy, but I can empathize with that. Man, you ever feel hopeless? You ever, well, whatever your field might be after you've suffered your own measure of defeat in whatever capacity that might be, whatever your context is this morning, think about the last great defeat you suffered in life. And did you wake up the next morning, maybe had a good dream or something, you wake up and you're like, oh, that's right, life is what it is today. And you look out at your proverbial field and you see all the stones. And maybe your Springs field dried up. And you realize, I have nothing to build with here. We can feel hopeless at times. We can. There can be natural hindrances that take place. I mentioned Lee. He's not here this morning, my brother-in-law. But we've been talking a lot and following him building a garage, detached garage from his house at home. He wanted to build this garage. He has a good plan for it. He submitted everything to the city. He's told me the story a couple of times. Submitted everything to the city for the permits to get everything done. Was sure that everything was good, went and rented a bunch of equipment, dug out the foundation, did this beautiful job, lots of work and lots of resources put into it. And after he had dug that foundation, the city came back and said, we don't want you to do it this way, we are requiring you to do it this way. And it was of such a way, I won't go into all the details, but it was in such a way that Lee had to go back and rent more equipment, fill back in what he had dug out, and then do it all over again. And do it in the way that the city wanted him to. It was a substantial expense. It was a substantial hindrance. It was a substantial roadblock that maybe, if it were me, I would have said, I don't want a stupid garage anyway. I'm not fine. You know, I'm not just going to keep on dumping into this. You know, things went rather smoothly for a remodel that's taking place here. And it's still, there were roadblocks and there was red tape. And I've mentioned it a number of times and I won't belabor the point. Abraham had great natural limitation to this very simple yet staggering promise that God had for him. Abraham, you are going to be the father of many nations. Look at the sky. You see those stars up there? Every one of those represents a kid that's going to come from you. Not your child per se, but one of your offspring, one of your or your progenitors, what, not progenitors, I'm going through all the fancy words, but I can't get the right thing. Great, 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 great grandchildren. Each one of these things is going to be something that comes from your line. How? I'm an old man. It's not possible here. She is an old woman. I love her, but it's not possible here. 190 years old between the two of them. It was hopeless. And so we find Abraham here, showing us a step in building faith, despite natural hindrances. It's very simple. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, this was who he was, strong in faith and being strengthened in faith as he walked with God, he did not consider his own body. Already dead. You know, sometimes the Lord is so straightforward, so doesn't mince words. Already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider it. He didn't think about it. He didn't focus on it. Saints, don't be limited by natural hang-ups. I am not one, and anyone who knows me will know that I'm speaking truth here. I am not a name-it-and-claim-it kind of guy. I am not one of these ones who says, you're sick, you need to have the faith that that would go away from you. I don't believe that for one moment. I believe that we are to have faith that the Lord can touch my body and remove that sickness at any time. And I will ask him for that. I will ask him to remove pain from my life if it's for my best, for my good, and for his glory. I will ask him to remove pain from my loved ones' lives if it's for your good and for his glory. I will always ask him for that, and I will have faith to believe that he can do that. I've seen miracles. I've seen the Lord put and touch immediately and instantly and remove that. And part of the blessing that comes from that is recognizing that power and seeing that power. But saints, I also know that sometimes it's not for my good, that my sickness is removed from me instantly. It doesn't change my faith in believing and knowing that He can do that. Don't be limited by natural hang-ups. For the child of God, speaking to the believer, if you're a child of God, there are certain efforts that He does call for you, certain efforts that He calls from you, certain steps that He wants you to make to deal with natural hang-ups. I want to make that clear. When natural hindrances are present in your life, sometimes He says to the child of God, you need to clean that up. You need to fix that. Now, He'll give you the strength for it, certainly. But sometimes there's something He wants you to address in your life. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says this. In regards to these natural hindrances to your faith strengthening, your faith building, He says, therefore, we also, since we are... Well, looky here. We talked about this morning. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. These weights and these sins, they will hinder your strengthening of faith, your building of faith. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Weights and sins, distractions and snares, hindrances and burdens, and those things that slow you down. Saints, these can be anything you understand. They don't have to be, as I always say, the egregious and foul and lewd and obviously, ooh, gross, that sometimes even the natural people, the unbeliever, will look and say, that's not right. It doesn't have to be those things that are so grand. They can be, of course. Sin takes some pretty gnarly forms, and God's people can get involved in the gnarly, but these can be anything that draws your eye from Him. Anything that slows you down in your obedience to Him. Anything that steals your time from Him that should be set aside for Him. This is anything that hinders your growth in Him. I don't have to spell out your respective issues. If you know, you know, right? And you know. Typically, we know what's getting in our way. Typically, while we don't always want to address it, we know what's hindering our growth. And if that's the case, sometimes the Lord says, you need to deal with this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21, if indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him, and child of God, you have, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, one who has Him in your heart, of course, you have been heard of Him and you have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, put off concerning your former conduct the old things that you did before you knew of Him, before you had heard of Him, before you were taught Him. Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Let go of those weights, let go of those snares, those things that are slowing you down, that are weakening you, that are burdening you, and keeping your faith from being what it is. Those things that are simple to see, easy to recognize, easy to understand, this is harming me. Your faith will strengthen as you leave off the obvious. And sometimes the Lord says, listen, we know, we both know what this is. Or times where, well, there are times when my kids, you know, well, I'll leave my kids out of it. I don't want to put them under the bus. Just put me under the bus. There are times when I would look at my dad and he would look at me and there was an issue and there's something I'd misstepped in or done wrong, and we both just kind of, well, we knew between the two of us. And I might lie or I might try to hinder it. There were just a handful of times where it was just, well, here it is, and you and I both know. It just is what it is. We don't have to act foolish in front of the Lord. He knows, and we know. And when there are those things that are obvious, man, take care of them. Take care of them and set those things aside. That's for the child of God. For the unbeliever, if you're not a child of God, you need to understand that you can't do anything of yourself. You can recognize, man, I have all kinds of wrong in my life. I have all kinds of issues. And it feels hopeless. It feels hopeless right now in my life, and I don't know what to do about it. You can't fix yourself. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 says. That's as hopeless a situation as there can be, falling short of the glory of God. You can't fix it. And saints, when you were in this situation and didn't have Jesus as your Savior, you couldn't fix it. Well, I asked Jesus into my heart, and I believed in him to be my Redeemer and my Savior. Didn't I fix it? I don't have to answer that question, do I? He said, here, have this. And you said, okay, drop it in my hands. You don't even have to reach up and take it from him. He drops it in your hands. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You can't fix it. There's no getting right before you go to God. You don't have to sit and fix yourself to make yourself worthy of going and finally becoming a child of God. And we understand this. You don't do that. You bring your mess, you bring your nasty, you bring your everything, and you bring a repentant heart, as Brother Doug talked about this morning. You come and you simply say, I can't do this. There are stones in my field. Dry springs everywhere. And I don't have anything to build with. Every tree is taken down. I have nothing here. I'm a hopeless proposition. And the Lord, well, he gives you hope, doesn't he? There's no getting right before you go to God. You just go to God and he gets you right. That's how it works. If that's the case, if you're hopeless in yourself as an unbeliever, you go to the Lord. Saints, that being said, you can't. You who do know the Lord Jesus, we who have known him for some time, there are those things that we cannot take care of. We have the things that the Lord says, you need to fix these things, and I'll give you the strength to do it, but take care of these things and recognize and acknowledge these things. But there are those natural hindrances in our lives that come up perhaps by no doing of ours, perhaps by no involvement of ours, that make things absolutely out of our hands and unable for us to fix. Hopeless. It's something that's impacting me negatively. It's something that's harming me. It's something that looks to injure me or the ones that I love on a natural level, and I can't do anything about it. What do we do then? Well, let's go back to our text. What did Abraham do in the face of a hopeless proposition? Now, it doesn't seem like it would harm anyone necessarily, but God promised him something. And he knew his body, and he knew his wife's body, and knew that they were old. What did he do? Again, contrary to hope, in hope he believed. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, as we mentioned a moment ago. Consider means to fix one's eyes on. It means to fix one's thoughts on. It means to fix one's mind on. God doesn't ask us to be stupid, naturally speaking. He doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to take care of everything, so you just put your hands over your eyes, put your hands over your ears, and just walk that way for the rest of your life, and everything will be fine. I will lay the ground in front of you exactly how you need it. I'll have birds bring and stick food into your mouth. You don't have to do anything. Just sit on your couch the rest of your life and just let me live your life for you. That's not what he has for us to do. But he also doesn't want us to sit and say, man, look at all these limitations. Look at all these stones in my field. Look at all these dry springs. Well, what can I do? You know, it's not what he calls us to do. He calls us to recognize, I have stones in my field. Man, I don't know how I'm going to do this by myself. Lord, I can't do this by myself. But you told me that you're going to clear this field. You told me that from within me I can have springs of living water. This is what you promised to me. Well, have your way. Abraham didn't look at his body. He didn't look at his stony fields and cut down trees and feel hopeless. He didn't consider it. He said, well, this is interesting. Let's see how God works this out. Now, he had his hiccups and he tried to make things work for himself. I won't go into that this morning. We understand that, well, he caused himself some problems and he got a little impatient. But we also recognize that the man was a man of faith. And ultimately he said, God, you're going to take care of this. He didn't know how to overcome the limitations of his old body, so he simply said, Lord, you do. I know who to look at. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Saints, whatever your circumstances are, however stony your fields might be, your respective fields might be, might look like a concrete parking lot. And you're supposed to farm out of this? You're supposed to grow crops out of this? Don't consider the asphalt. Don't consider the concrete if the Lord has said, you're going to farm from this field. You're not hopeless. It's not outside of the power of God. The unbeliever is not hopeless. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, this is what he says. This one who is absolutely without power in and of themselves, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can't do anything to fix you. You can't do anything to save you. You can't do anything to buy eternity to get into heaven. Fortunately, I've bought it for you. And the blood of Jesus does this. You simply confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and it's done. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. No work is needed on your part. He doesn't ask us to do anything. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure, Jesus being the author and finisher of our faith. Likewise, there are circumstances for God's people when things are impossible. When you can't do anything to remove the natural hindrance. When you can't, by any effort of your own, by any purpose of your own, by any, man, just steadfastness of your own, that you can remove that situation. Well, guess what? It's not only there that no work is needed. No work is wanted on your part sometimes. God doesn't want you to be involved sometimes. Exodus chapter 14. Sometimes our circumstances right now, while they might not be as remarkable to everybody else, as impressive to everybody else, they are in our own hearts just as dangerous and just as oppressive and just as hopeless as Moses, well, the children of Israel, when they were running from Egypt and they're hot on their tails. And here they are standing before the Red Sea, completely hemmed in, pinned in, not knowing what to do. As hopeless as Abraham saying, you want to make a nation out of me, and I'm just a dried up old man. It's hopeless. The Lord doesn't want your work sometimes. When it's hopeless and you're helpless, that's exactly where he wants you often. Don't try to help, Moses said to the people, in that circumstance. Hemmed in from behind and from before. It doesn't get much more hopeless than nowhere to go. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Sometimes the Lord tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, put on the breastplate of righteousness, take up the sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God. Sometimes, you do understand that that's metaphorical and that's figurative. Sometimes he wants you to put all your natural swords down. He wants you just to be standing there in nothing but a t-shirt and shorts. Absolutely vulnerable to everything natural. And just sit back and watch the show. Saints, that's hard for us to do sometimes. There are some go-getters in this assembly. There are some ones who are strong-minded and strong-willed. There are times when I want to just do and do and do, and the last thing that I want to do is just take my hands off of a situation. And sometimes that's exactly what he wants for you to do. Get your hands off. Be still. Know that I am God. And watch what I can do. And you hold your peace. And saints, when he tells you to do that, when you open up your eyes and you open up your ears and you open up your hearts, well, then you believe and you trust in the Lord and you have faith very similar to Abraham. And strengthening happens. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. I like that word waver there. If you look into it, it means stagger. I don't watch boxing much. I never watch MMA. I can't watch that stuff anymore. I guess I'm just wimpy. But I don't like seeing people tag each other. I've seen enough head trauma that I don't like watching it for entertainment. I know what's happening behind the scenes there. But I do also know that if you take a good shot, man, I've seen some guys staggered. Bam! There they go, and they can't walk if they're even exactly. They can't hardly walk. They are staggered. Abraham was given a staggering promise by God. I'm going to shake your world up here, man. You're going to be a nation, the father of many nations, in fact. Saints, he's given us some staggering promises. You can be a child of mine. You can have all of eternity with me. All of eternity. Are you kidding me? You're talking angels and harps and all of these things? No, no, much, much better than that. Much better than that. Are you kidding me? We're not just going to take a dirt nap when this is all over? No, as a matter of fact. No, no, you have eternity with me, and guess what else? I have riches and glory you can't fathom. And I have this all written out for you. You can study this out, and all. You know what else? I'm going to give you my spirit so that you might better understand this. And he will guide you in some things and understand some things and lead you and guide you into all truth. Are you kidding me right now? Something I can't see, can't touch, can't jump? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've had it proven in my life. Have you? I trust you have. Faith is strengthened. These are staggering promises. Abraham was given these staggering promises, and it says that he did not stagger when the promise came. Abraham believed that God was willing and God would make good on his promises. He and his wife both. And so now I will take you to that Hall of Fame of Faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, where it brings in his better half, Sarah. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. By faith, she received strength. And it wasn't just strength in her body, she was strengthened in her faith too, just as Abraham was. But her body was strengthened, she also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. Very simple, physiologically, this is what happened. She was past the age, past the capability. How come? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. He's promised me, I believe it, that's it. I know him for who he is. And if he says this is going to happen, it's mine to sit back, sometimes take my hands off, and, well, sometimes simply to enjoy the show. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. It doesn't get much more hopeless than as good as dead. Maybe, I guess, actual dead. But that's what he was. And yet Abraham didn't stagger. Didn't stumble, didn't shake at the magnitude of it. He had faith for that promise. How come? Because he knew God was good for it. And guess what God did? Well, what he didn't do was leave him hanging. He was good for it. And Abraham, despite the fallout and despite all the issues that are the nation of Israel has today and God's people worldwide have had, he is the father of those nations. That nation has endured, even that specific one, Israel. Because God is good for it, saints, Abraham's faith was justified. Am I right? Yes. You don't have to say anything. I'm right. It's present. It's Bible. It's truth. Saints, there's so many things in the world. We'll wind down here. There's so many things in the world, and there's so many things going on right here. There's so many of our issues that take place in our own respective contexts. And of course, we have that enemy that I haven't even mentioned this morning. So many of these things that are hindrances to our building of faith, our strengthening of faith. So many different things want to drop rocks into our field. So many different things want to dry up those springs that are within our hearts. So many different things are always trying to hang us up, always trying to hinder us. My dog has a real capability of sitting there so cute right in the middle of my way when I try to step up over her. All of a sudden she jumps up and she wants to run right then. And she tries to trip me up every single time. So many things want to sit so calmly until you try to take a step forward. And then, bang, they jump up and say, gotcha! Grab your shoestring or whatever the case might be. Or just full-on punch you in the gut and try to knock you down. Saints, we don't have the materials. We don't have the skills in and of ourselves to take care of and address all of the things that need to be taken care of and addressed for us to have success in this life. And by success, I mean winning the race that we've been placed upon and finishing in the victory that he has. We don't have the understanding, we don't have the strength for that in and of ourselves to empty the fields of stone and to restore all of that water that is absent and to fix the dryness that can come up in our lives and to restore the trees and have the materials to build up this faith that we have. We don't have the materials required in and of ourselves. Saints, it's impossible. It's impossible to do this on our own. We couldn't do it on our own. But God works in impossibility. I am the vine. and you are the branches, Jesus said. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. How insulting is that? Without me, you can't do anything. That's not an insult. That is simply identifying the truth for what it is. It would be perhaps insulting if he said, you can't do anything, so get out of my face. I have nothing for you. Instead, he says, you can't do anything without me. But with him, you can do all things. All things through Christ who strengthens me. You can win, Jesus. You can run your race successfully. You can run your race victoriously. You can remove every single stone from this field if that's what I'm going to enable you to do. Or it might just be that I say, hands off. I sweep through here and every last stone is removed from your field. My brother prayed just a moment ago, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Sometimes you need to work and sweat and labor a little bit and picking up stones, and sometimes he wants you to sit down and watch him do it all. Saints, Abraham didn't waver. He received a staggering promise and he didn't stagger. Have you not received staggering promises from the Lord God? Yes, you have. Don't be staggered by those things. Be amazed. Be certain. Be faithful, knowing that he can, well, indeed, do what he promises to do. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Saints, it's staggering what the Lord promises to us, all those things that we mentioned before. Don't stagger at those things. Don't stagger at his willingness to clear your fields, give you water, build you up with materials that you don't have the capability of bringing. Don't stagger at these promises. Believe them. And be sure that your faith will be strengthened by that. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Close with prayer. Heavenly Father, I praise you this morning that you know our hearts, Father. You know where our minds are at. You know where our interests are at. You know where our distractions may or may not be. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to hide from you, and indeed we can't hide from you. I pray that you would touch our hearts this morning. Father, that you gather our eyes and our ears towards you, open our hearts towards you, Father, and show us what we need. Father, if we need our hands to get into the work, give us the strength for it and the determination to do that. But if we need to step back for whatever reason and watch you as you clear our fields, Father, help us to have the faith to do that. Whatever our circumstances, whatever our contexts are, Father, I pray that our faith would be strengthened, present this morning and strengthened and deepened today and every day as we seek you, walk with you, and trust you to do these things for us. Thank you for your promises and thank you for your faithfulness to fulfill them. Help us to believe and receive it for your glory and for our eternal blessing. I pray these things. Bless your people. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.